Let's stand together as we open with Today is the Day.
To be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? It sure beats standing outside. And it's really good to see you here today. Today, I hope that, as we just sang, today's the day that the Lord has made. Let's be glad and rejoice in it. If you'll take your bulletin, we have several announcements to go through. I'd like to get through them very quickly here. First of all, immediately following the morning service, we have a business meeting. And so if our members could stay, we'll start the meeting 10 minutes after the conclusion of the morning service. Coming up on April 22nd at 6 p.m., our youth are putting on a murder mystery dinner, all right? This helps fund their missions trip to Detroit, where they go with Life Changers, and they do some wonderful things there, a vacation Bible school, and a lot of building work gets done in communities. And so, to be supportive of that and just to have a really great night, I'd like to encourage you to buy the tickets. They're $20 each. You can buy them at the Welcome Center. They are not available at the door. And we only have seating for 108 people, I believe. So you want to be sure to buy your tickets as quickly as possible. On April 2nd at 6 p.m. here at the church, we have Matt Hammett coming in. Matt is the former lead singer of Sanctus Real, and he's launched out on his own. He does a wonderful job of ministering to families, and his whole message is designed around helping build people up in their faith of Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you to come out and to his concert. Tickets are $10. You can buy them at the door. You can stop by the Welcome Center and get them this morning if you would like. But I want to encourage you to be part of that. We have an Easter egg hunt coming up, and that is on April 15th, Saturday, April 15th at 3 p.m. We're hoping to have around 250 kids. We have 8,000 eggs that need to be prepared. And I've seen many of them already stuffed with the... It takes a long time to stuff 8,000 eggs. So if you would like to help with that, you can see Krista Asher. She's out in the Welcome Center after the service, and you can help out with that. But also, if you would like to come and be part of that day, just help greet people, help tell people where to go, and just be another smiling, friendly face, we would love to have your help with that as well. And then on April 15th at 5 p.m. and April 16th, that's Easter morning, at 11 a.m., we have our Easter cantata, and they've been working very hard with that. I am very excited about the Easter cantata. It's going to be a great presentation, first of all, of the gospel, and then also just an opportunity for the for people here in our church to put their gifts to work for the Lord. And so there is practice today, by the way, for all that are involved. And if you don't have a part but you'd like to be an extra, we need a few more extras to walk around. That's, you know, some people, that's you're a good extra. So if you'd like to be part of that, you can stay at 1 o'clock is when practice will start today after the service. Then there's a servant evangelism project coming up on March 31st at 6 p.m. They're going to be serving soup, a soup dinner at the Rickman House. So if you would like to help provide the soup or you'd like to go serve it, either way, please see the sign-up sheets at the Welcome Center so you can be part of that. We are starting, our small groups will be starting up on April 23rd, and we're looking for some hosts and teachers if you would like to be part of that. Through hosting a small group or through leading a small group, then please let us know by putting your name down at the Welcome Center so we can get in contact with you. There is a Sunday school teachers meeting April 9th following the morning service. That's for all the children Sunday school teachers, okay? All those who work with the children. So April 9th following the morning service. We have the Uganda Children's Choir coming here on July 16th. You say, that's a long way away. It is. But we are responsible for housing the Children's Uganda Choir on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. And so we're looking for people that would open up their home and bring in a couple of the children. There's also adults that travel with the Children's Uganda Choir that need to be housed. So if you would like to help out with that, then let us know at the Welcome Center, and we'll give you all the details that you need to know. There's just a lot of announcements. Read through your bulletin for those. One more announcement that's not in your bulletin. Next week, the Archers Sunday School class is going to be taking a break. And so there's a lot of the class that's going to be gone for spring break. So no Archers Sunday School class next Sunday morning. Yeah. Oh, yes, after the service, we need help moving that piano. We need about 10 or 15 strong-backed men. So if you got a bad back, you're exempt. All the rest of you, we need some help moving the piano so that we can get the stage set up for the Easter production.
If you don't have a bad back, you will.
You will by the time we're done. No, don't do that. All right. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, God, that you are the God that created today. And you've brought all of us together because you have a plan here for us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that there are no accidents in life and that through various circumstances and means, you've brought us together. We may not all together be in one place ever again on this earth. And so, Lord, I thank you that as we're here together this morning, that we have a God who's worth praising and we have a message that's worth listening to. And I thank you that your word is so great. And as we talk about reconciliation this morning, the great wonder of taking those who are at odds, taking enemies, and bringing them to be at peace, and not just to be at peace, but to be brought into friendship with each other. And so, Lord, thank you for that work that you do for us. I pray that we would be willing to listen to how we can accomplish that work in other people's lives. So now, Lord, we just ask that your greatest blessings be upon this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to sing Days of Elijah. Thank you. blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. On His unchanging grace, in every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love.
Exodus, God was speaking to Moses. He said, "Now listen carefully. The cry of the Israelites has come to my attention about how severely the Egyptians have been oppressing them. So go. I am sending you to Pharaoh. Bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses told God, "Who am I? How can I go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Then God said, "I certainly will be with you, and this will be a sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, all of you will serve God on this mountain." Moses told God, "Look, when I go to the Israelites and tell them, 'The God of your ancestors sent me to you,' they'll say to me, 'What is his name?' What should I say to them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am." And then he said, "Tell the Israelites, 'I am sent me to you.'" Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees and John, said, "Truly, I tell all of you emphatically, before there was an Abraham, I am."
I want to be close to your side, so heaven is free, and death is alive. I want to hear voices of angels above, singing as one, hallelujah. Holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am, who is worthy.
worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am. I want to be near, near to your heart, loving the world and hating the dark. I want to see dry bones living again, singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am. Shake before you, the demons run and flee. At the mention of the name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I Am.
Shall we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the blessings that you bring into our lives, and we thank you for the opportunity to give a portion back that to you, Father, and to see it magnified and used in our church, Fathers. In Christ's name we ask the blessings of these things. Amen.
How much longer before a flight leaves?
Jaden, for the fourth time, we board in 15 minutes. Are you anxious to get home or what?
You have no idea.
Well, it was good to see our families.
It's good we won't have to go through another family reunion for 2 more years.
That's true. It'll take us that long to get ready for the next one. Thank you.
Sandra, I want to tell you something, but I don't want you to be offended.
Okay.
Your family's weird.
My family? Well, what about yours?
Oh, weird as well. I mean, can you believe how my dad just bosses my mom around?
Well, at least they weren't yelling at each other like my parents were doing the entire time.
And what's up with Uncle Ralph and Aunt Ida?
I don't know. They can barely stand to be in the same room. Not like my sister and brother-in-law and their wrinkle-free kids.
Ha! Could they be any more fake?
They're perfect. You know that. Just like us.
Perfect? Well, we're not perfect. I mean, we're better than most of the family. This whole thing is a mystery to me.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, why do married couples treat each other and their kids so poorly?
How long do we have to be married before we begin acting that way?
How long before you start calling me the old man?
How long before you start ignoring me until you want your pot roast?
Are we only years away from having a dysfunctional family and kids that fight all the time?
Will we wish we were still single?
This whole thing is a mystery.
Excuse me. I'm Ben. May I sit?
Okay.
If you could just grab that. Let me get right in here. Thank you. You know, I couldn't help but overhear your conversation. There is no secret to a happy family life.
Oh, he's right. I'm Linda. May I sit?
Okay.
Thanks. Well, I was listening to your conversation as well, and I just have to agree that family life shouldn't be a mystery.
I agree. I'm Ben.
Oh, Linda. Flight 244?
Flight 244.
Oh.
Did you hear these two?
I know. I mean, there's nothing like a family reunion to make you doubt the point of marriage and family life.
I don't know where Linda's coming from, but I believe a strong marriage and home should be built on mutual respect, submission, and honor.
I am right with you. You are the head of the home. Does that make you mad?
No.
Does it make you feel like less of a human being?
Well, no, not at all.
Do you enjoy bossing your wife around?
I don't boss her around.
So what's most important? Making sure your needs are met, all while forgetting about her needs and the needs of your children?
I've never been that way.
Do you resent his leadership?
No.
Do you resent her opinions?
No.
Do you take your family to church each week?
Church? Yes.
Oh, do you resent he takes you all to church every weekend?
No, we like to go to church.
Who are you?
Do you read your Bible as a family?
Yes.
Is he lying?
No, he reads the Bible. I read the Bible. We read the Bible to our kids.
Do you give your wife a fresh start and forgive her after you disagree?
Yes.
Do you give your husband forgiveness and a fresh start after you disagree?
Yeah.
Do you show your kids what sacrificial love really means?
Yes.
Do you support him when he disciplines your children?
Of course, yes.
Well, from what I see, you guys are going to make it.
I agree. I think you're just a perfect picture of Jesus and the church.
You have nothing to worry about.
No, you're going to be all right.
Linda, it was nice to meet you.
Good meeting you. See you on board?
See you on board.
Okay.
What just happened?
I think we just had forced marriage counseling from a couple of strangers in the airport. Talk about weird.
Let's just hope we're not sitting next to them on the plane.
Oh, seriously.
Seriously?
An institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry, and they will say it's elementary.
Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And as the children are heading out, let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4.
I didn't forget my line.
Isn't it great when we watch those dramas, we go, oh, it's so good and it's so true, right? And how much of it hits so close to home. Well, I hope so. That's the point. And, you know, as we think about, as they got us thinking about marriage, this applies, this message of reconciliation is not just about marriage. It applies to marriage. It applies to all family life, but not just family life. It also sinks down into our relationships with our neighbors, the people we work with. See, reconciliation is a really, really big thing. And as you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, there's a man, he walked out on the street to catch a taxi that was going by. He got into the taxi and the cabbie said, "Perfect timing. You are just like Ryan." And the passenger said, "Who?" And the cabbie said, "Ryan J. Robinson. He's a guy who did everything right all the time. Like my coming along when you needed a cab. Things happen like that to Ryan J. Robinson every single time." The passenger said, "Well, there are always a few clouds over everybody." The cabbie said, "Not Ryan J. Robinson. He was a terrific athlete. He could have won the Grand Slam at tennis. He could golf with the pros. He sang like an opera baritone and danced like a Broadway star. And you should have heard him play the piano. He was an amazing guy." The passenger said, "Sounds like he was something really special." And the cabbie said, "Oh, there's more. He had a memory like a computer. He remembered everybody's birthday. He knew all about which foods to order and which fork to eat with them. He could fix anything, not like me. I change a fuse and the whole street blacks out. But Ryan J. Robinson, he could do everything right." The passenger said, "Wow, some guy." The cabbie said, "Oh, he always knew the quickest way to go in traffic and avoid traffic jams. Not like me. I always seem to get stuck in traffic jams. But Ryan, he never made a mistake, and he really knew how to treat a woman and make her feel good. He would never answer her back, even if she was in the wrong, and his clothing was always immaculate. Shoes, highly polished. He was the perfect man. He never made a mistake. No one could ever measure up to Ryan J. Robinson." The passenger said, "He sounds like an amazing fellow. How did you meet him?" "Oh," the cabbie said, "I never met him. He died. My wife is his widow." I said that wrong. "I'm married to his widow." Okay, anyway. What kind of rings does it take to have a successful marriage? Well, it takes an engagement ring, right? The wedding ring. And then the enduring and the suffering, right? No, those are all parts of marriage. And here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, let's read this together. We're going to read down through verse 32. It says this: "Be angry and sin not." Let me stop right there. You know what? The Bible gives you permission to get angry. Be angry. Don't you like that? I mean, you're like going, "Oh, whoo, okay, I may not be perfect, but yes, be angry." But then what does it say? "And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. See, in marriage, we have this funny thing that happens, not just in marriage, but in home life, with our children towards parents. This happens with our neighbors sometimes. This especially happens sometimes with somebody that you work next to or work near. We get bitterness towards people. Has anybody here ever been bitter towards anybody? All right, the rest of you are the Ryan, John Williams, or whatever. All right. See, we get bitter at people because here's what naturally happens in every single life. People sow into us seeds of bitterness. They do things to us that we're like, why are you doing that? Have you ever said that to your kids? Kids, have you ever said that to your parents? Husbands, you ever say that to your wives? I know every wife has said that to her husband. Why are you doing this? Because what happens is we do things that just put a little bit of an opportunity into other people's lives for them to be bitter at what we're doing. And so today I want to talk to you about reconciliation. But before we can get to reconciliation, we need to understand, taught from Ephesians chapter 4, what are the roots and fruits of bitterness? So number one, anger that festers into the night breeds wrath. It says, be angry, right? And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, anger and wrath are two totally different things. They're related to each other, but they're totally different things. Anger is being upset at something. Hey, Jesus got angry, right? He made a whip and he chased the money changers out of the temple. He threw over their tables, and twice he did that. The beginning of his ministry, at the end of his ministry. All right? It's okay to be angry. But it's not okay to go to bed angry. It's not okay to take the anger, even when the anger is caused by someone else's wrongdoing towards you, it's not okay to take that anger and go to bed with it. Don't let the sun go down. And then it says, upon your wrath. Wrath is different than anger because here's, wrath is anger that works its way out of a person in a negative way. So to be angry, okay, Jesus was angry. Jesus' anger even came out, but it didn't come out in a negative way. It came out in the right way. For us, wrath is something that we can't have that sits inside of us. Because you know what happens when you go to bed angry? You usually wake up angry, right? All right, crazy thing. You go to bed angry at your spouse, you usually have like bad dreams about them, right? Then you wake up and you're even madder at them. I was counseling a couple one time that they told me that they were struggling through something. They went to bed mad at each other. They had a huge fight. They went to bed. He woke up in the morning and he was so mad that he literally took the mattress and threw it up in the air and knocked his wife right out of bed. She got up and she goes, I didn't think our fight last night was that bad. He goes, oh, it's what you did while I was dreaming. That was worse. Okay, here's what happens. We go to bed with anger, and we don't deal with it. It starts to grow. And when anger festers into the night, anger breeds wrath. The second thing is that wrath, it's a display of anger. Wrath is that display of anger. And then the third thing, when not dealt with in a timely manner, what does the Bible say? Before the sun goes down, the devil has a place to plant his seeds. You know, if you deal with it before you go to bed, there's nothing to be mad about. So you can wake up in the morning and live reconciled. Be brought to peace. You go to bed angry. So now, it's easier with a married couple because you see them before you go to bed. How about that person you work with? Right before you leave work, and you have it out with them, and you are mad, and you jump in your car, and you're just hoping that you never have to see them again. And you're just angry. You drive home, you get into your, and so you're angry. And then you're getting ready to go to bed, and that anger, it's festering, not towards your family, but towards that person that you work with. And the thing is, you don't have to see them until the next morning. But you know, you go to bed angry with them. You know what happens when you see them the next day? Oh, you hate them twice as much. And now all of a sudden you have wrath, you know, and every time they walk by you, you're hoping, you know, I hope you slip and fall. I hope you staple your finger. I hope your hand gets caught in the copier. And you, it just breeds this ugliness of wrath. But you go to bed with it. Here's what the devil does. He starts to plant in there, and it's bitterness. And the root of bitterness is a very strong root. The root of bitterness, it's very hard to pull up. In fact, I think it's impossible to pull up on our own. You go to bed angry. The devil's able to plant these seeds of bitterness. You wake up with wrath, and those seeds of bitterness, they start growing some deep, deep roots. And number four, bitterness grows from that seed. And number five, the fruit that grows out of the seeds are festering anger. And here are some of the fruits, the festering anger or the bitterness. Here's some of the fruits of these things. Okay, here's what the passage tells us. In verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So here are the fruits of that going to bed angry and letting it grow up into your life. Number one, wrath. Wrath is anger that lashes out. Letter B, clamor. Clamor is an outburst. Probably none of you in your relationships have had an outburst, right? None of you have just kind of just maybe not even said anything. Okay. I was sitting with a couple. They were on a couch. I was in a chair right across from them. And we were trying to work our way through some pretty heavy things in their relationship. And so I just asked the wife, I said, does he ever help you around the house? And she looked at him and she goes, ah! And I'm like, I'm going to take that as a no. Okay, that right there, that's clamor. Okay? The outburst. See, when we let it store up inside, you know what happens? There's an outburst. It's like the floodgates open. And here's usually what happens. Either the husband or the wife, one of them, is not suspecting the outburst to take place. Because the one has just been holding it in and they're mad, and that root of bitterness is getting deeper and deeper, and they're just so mad, and they're waiting for their spouse to change or to make something right, and it doesn't happen. And so all of a sudden, just one day, just out of the blue, it seems like, the spouse just erupts. And it left their partner going, what did I do? Well, remember 2 months ago? Or remember last week? And see, this is what happens when we let those seeds of bitterness grow. They produce this fruit and this clamor. We have to put that away. It shouldn't be part of our life. Evil speaking is the next thing. Evil speaking are words that vilify or make out to be bad. Okay? In our relationships, we don't want to have evil speaking. That's why when we talked about the rules of engagement, the words never and always should not be part of a vocabulary, right? When we're at odds and disagreement. Because what that happens is immediately when you use those words, you vilify. And you don't want to make a villain out of your spouse. You don't want to make a villain out of your children. You don't want to make a villain, even though they may seem like one, out of your coworker or your neighbor. And so evil speaking are words, and evil speaking, usually we don't speak it to the person. Now, in marriages, it happens a lot more than probably any other situation, and we'll get to that in a minute. We usually speak more poorly to those in our marriage, just like in the skit they said that. We speak more poorly to the people that we're married to, our family members, than we do anybody else. Why do we do that? Well, we'll get to that in just a couple seconds. But evil speaking, here's how it usually plays out with neighbors, with coworkers. We speak evil about somebody to somebody else. Right? We all know what that's called, right? Gossip. But that evil speaking is we harm their character, we assassinate their good report that they might have with people through our evil speaking about them. And we're supposed to put away evil speaking. But see, evil speaking is one of those fruits that grows out of the root of bitterness. Then letter D, malice. We're supposed to put malice away. Malice, literally, if we were to just say from Greek to English, maybe malice is maybe hard for us to really grasp. But in the context of what all these other words are talking about, it's malicious words meant to hurt another. See, when we say something because we want to hurt somebody, we know where they're weak, and so we just dig in where they're weak. We dig in where we know it hurts. You know, one of the rules of engagement that we talked about a couple weeks ago is swearing cannot be part of our communication. I'm amazed at how many couples, they would never swear at anybody else in the whole wide world, but they'll swear at their spouse. And I just think, oh, how devastating is that? That's malice. If you would swear at your spouse, and you wouldn't swear at other people like that. I was sitting in a counseling session where the husband just went off on his wife and called her some awful words. And I stopped and I said, would you ever talk to me that way? He goes, no, because you'd punch me. And I said, well, wait a minute. Do you love me more than her? And he's like, no. Why would you speak to her that way? Well, you know what? Roots of bitterness have been growing up. And when those roots of bitterness grow up, we become very callous toward the people that we love. And we'll speak with malicious words to them when we wouldn't speak that way to anybody else. You ever heard the saying that says, familiarity breeds contempt? You know why it breeds contempt? Because we don't deal with the anger, we let it sit. So here's what I want to beg of you. Keep short accounts with each other. Keep short accounts with everybody. So you got the coworker that drives you nuts. Okay? It's okay to be driven nuts, but you got to make sure you're handling your relationship with them where you're not taking that anger home with you. Sometimes you have to call somebody up on the phone and say, hey, you know what? I'm really disturbed by our last interaction. Is there any way we can be at peace? Some people are just negative people and they don't even know that you're at odds. And some people, it may be impossible. The Bible says that we should as much as is possible be at peace with all men. There are some people that we can't be at peace with. But you know what we should do? We should make every effort so that we don't go to bed with that anger. So that we are good, not just with God, we're good with others. Because you can't be good with God if you go to bed early, with anger. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says this. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Well, we don't quite grasp this concept today because we don't go to the temple and offer a gift, right? So let me encourage you with this. Before you bow your head in prayer, before you pray with your family, pray with your kids, or just you and God talk, if you've got aught with your brother, or you know they have something, they have a problem with you, go reconcile first, then bring it to God. then bring your gift to God. See, we think I can have wrong relationships with everybody. As long as I'm good with God, I don't care about anybody else. And you know what? You're wrong, because when you're bad with everybody else, you're bad with God. And when you're bad with your spouse, you're bad with God. You cannot be right with God and wrong with your spouse simultaneously. Leave your gift at the altar. Leave your time of prayer. Leave saying, God, I'm going to do something great for you, and go reconcile first. So let's talk about the way to dig up the roots and cut off the fruits of bitterness. In Ephesians 4, it gives us the answer in verse 32. It says, and be kind one to another. Be kind to one another. I mean, this is like, sometimes some things in the Bible, you just read it and you go, well, duh, right? See that commercial, I should have had a V8, right? And they slap their forehead. There are just some things in Scripture where we read it and it's like, oh, be kind to one another. Duh. And then the next one, tender-hearted. I think this is equally as hard for the female as it is for the male. Tender-hearted. See, here's what happens in our lives. We'll be on our way home, and we've talked, maybe it's with our children, about something that, you know, when I get home, I hate it when, you know, for us, it's the sink is full of dishes. Okay? My girls will be like, amen, you say that all the time. Right? And so we're heading home, and we're thinking, oh, if there's a pile of dishes, oh, you've told them 100 times. And all of a sudden, you're preparing for the battle. Okay? To prepare for the battle, to be ready to yell, is the wrong preparation. Here's what I want to encourage you with. You know that battle's coming because you're ready to walk through those doors, and you know that they did not do what you expected, what you have given as a clear expectation many times. So you're ready. So be kind one to another. Yeah, but I'm the parent. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Any discussion I go into with anybody, if I go into it with a hard heart, the discussion will fail. Tender-hearted. So when you come in the door and you see those dishes and you're just like, oh my goodness. All right, family meeting in the kitchen. So the 10 minutes or however long it takes to gather your kids up, right? You get them in the room. Now we've explained to you many times that when you see dirty dishes, you take care of dirty dishes. I want you to take care of that right now. You do it with calmness. You do it with a tender heart. You know what? When it's taken care of, everybody is reconciled. You go in with anger, wrath, malice, evil speaking. You've just taken a teaching opportunity and thrown it away. Because then in Ephesians 4:32, the last part of that verse, it says, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How many times do I have to forgive my spouse, my children? How many times do I have to forgive my neighbor, my coworker? As many times as Christ has forgiven you. That's how often. That's how many times. So you know what that means? You should offer forgiveness in an unlimited supply. Jesus was asked, how many times in a day do I have to forgive my brother that sins against me? And Jesus said, Oh, 70 times 7. And I could just see some of us, we get our clicker out, you know. 488, 489. All right, I can only be wrong one more time, and then I can go off. No, 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 that's the wrong attitude. As many times as it takes. Because here's what Jesus said, if you want to offer gifts at the altar, before you make a decision for God or ask the Lord for a spiritual help or for a blessing, before you go to God, first you need to forgive. You know, we take so long to reconcile with family. Why is it those that we love the most, we treat the worst? Why do we speak more harshly to the ones that we love than we do to anybody else? Here's why. Because God has given us this awesome tool of reconciliation. Here's what reconciliation truly is. Those who were enemies or at odds are brought into fellowship and friendship. And the devil hates reconciliation. And here's why the devil hates reconciliation. He can't have it. I've had little kids ask me so many times, can the devil say he's sorry? No. The devil cannot say he's sorry. You know why? Because he has turned against the God that he saw face to face. The God that he was created to serve. And he said, I'm better than you. In fact, he tried to overtake God. And God said, no, I'm sorry. You can't do that. And the devil hates reconciliation because he can never be given that by God. His choice. His work. And so now what the devil will try to do in your life is he wants to sow those seeds of bitterness because he does not want you to live a life where you reconcile with others. But here's the great thing about God. God is all about reconciliation with us. Romans 5:8. God commendeth or demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We who were alienated, enemies of God, both through our evil deeds and just by our sinful nature, God sent his Son to reconcile us to himself. Those of us who were far away were brought and made near to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:10, it says this, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God is all about bringing those that are at odds, and bringing them to peace through Jesus. Because he did that when we were at odds with him. A story is told about two brothers. They lived on adjoining farms. They got into a fight and they hated each other. And one of the brothers, he was so mad, he took, there was a nice little meadow there. He took and he dug up the meadow and turned it into a little stream. And the other brother was so mad because he lost the property off of his property line. So he went over, one day a carpenter came over, and he said to the carpenter, I want you to build this huge fence in between my brother and I, because I just don't ever want to see him again. And so the carpenter said, all right, I'll get to building. The brother went inside, and a little bit later he walked outside, and he didn't see a fence. He started yelling at the carpenter, why are you building a fence for me? I told you to build a fence. The carpenter said, you didn't need a fence. You needed a bridge. I built a bridge over the stream so you two can get together. Well, when his brother saw that there was a bridge that was built, his brother came marching out. He went marching over too. They both started walking across the bridge, and they both saw the foolishness of their ways. In the middle of the bridge, they made amends. They were reconciled to each other. They went to go thank the carpenter, and they said, you have no idea what this bridge means to us. Can you help build some other things on the farm? And he said, nope, I'm done. There are more bridges that need to be built. And here's what the scriptures tell us. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry, the service, the responsibility of reconciliation. Because he has reconciled us, we are called to go and to bring others into the reconciliation of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for all that you do for us. I thank you for what you did on the cross when you sent Jesus. Because those of us who have sinned, which is all of us, we were far from you. God, you wanted us in close relationship, and you sent your Son to be the Savior for our sin, so that we could be made at peace, be brought close to God. So, Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, this morning, Lord, they can't reconcile with others until they come to peace with you. And then, Lord, you give to us the ministry, the service, the responsibility, the ability to reconcile with others. So, God, I just pray that as we close out this service, that you would have your way in each and every one of our hearts. I pray that husbands and wives, parents and children, neighbors, friends, that we would take advantage of these quiet moments that we have to make sure that reconciliation is part of how we're living our life. So to you, Lord, be glory when you do a wonderful work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you could stand with me, we're going to, Terry's going to sing a song for us in closing. And if God has spoken to your heart and you've got something that you need to work out in your life, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to be standing up here. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Or if you just need to grab somebody and pray with them, let God have his way during this closing time.
Afraid I've let you down. Inside I doubt that you still love me. But in your eyes there's only grace now. You plead my cause. You right my wrongs. You break my chains. You give me
This morning, as we close out the service, Scott Randolph has come to be anointed with oil, to be prayed over. He's got an infection that they believe has started in his good leg, and they're talking about possibly taking part of it. And so he's praying that God gives healing. And so we want to be obedient to what the scripture says. And then also this morning, Richard Barber is here, and he had talked to me before the service. He would like to have prayer as well, an anointing with the oil as far as concerning James 5, what the Bible says. So I'm going to pray prayer of dismissal. If you want to go, you are welcome to go. If you'd like to come up here and pray, you are invited to come up and pray with us. And we will ask for God to do his will, but also for God to be the great healer. Lord God, we thank you this morning that you don't leave the ministry of reconciliation up to us solely. But Lord, you are you're the initiator of it, the creator of it. You've given us the greatest example of it. And so God, I just pray we would take these things to heart. Heal our families, Lord. I pray for the parents that are here this morning whose children live far away, who are at odds with their children. I pray that you would be the great reconciler for them. I pray, Lord, for anybody here this morning, Lord, that right now they feel hopeless when it comes to reconciliation. I pray that they would not leave hopeless, Lord, but you would give them hope because you are the help. So now, Lord, help us to go and live these things in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. You are dismissed. Ding, 10 minutes after.